Good morning. Welcome to church. My name's Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. It's great that you can come along as we keep working our way through Hebrews. There's a lot here that God has to say to us, and so I hope that we've got our ears and eyes open. Actually, the points that we go through, in one sense, I was hoping that we could have a single talk on each one. We're going to go through 3 points, but we don't have the time. But there is weightiness in here, lessons that challenge us if we're willing to listen. Now, on the first slide, I've got a picture there of Robert De Castella. Put your hands up if you actually know who he is. Okay, I was wondering if there's going to be a bit of a generation gap, and there kind of is. Could have picked an earlier person, but he's somebody who stood out to me, I guess, in terms of one of Australia's greatest marathon runners, if not the greatest. He was a marathon runner back in the 1980s. He still holds the Oceanic record for the fastest marathon that's been run. He came first in the World Championships in 1983. Now, as I was reading about Robert De Castella, I read about how he ran in the 1982 Commonwealth Games here in Australia, in Brisbane. Now, at the start of the race, two Tanzanians, they took off really fast. Gadamus and Juma were their names. They ran out in front. And after 5 minutes, Gadamus and Juma, they were already ahead of the pack by a good 50 metres. Now, 20 kilometres in, that gap had stretched to being a few hundred metres. You know, they were way out in front. Halfway through the race, Robert De Castella, he starts getting cramps. He starts having diarrhoea. And the article that I'm reading says he let go of his bowels and he signals to his team for damp towels. And I'm thinking as I'm reading this, there's no chance, but he keeps running anyway. 16 kilometres later, he catches up to Gadamus, the first Tanzanian, and he passes him. With just 3 kilometres to go, he catches up to the second one, to Juma. 3 kilometres out of 42 kilometres, he catches up. They're neck to neck. They're battling it out. They change lead 4 times until finally Robert De Castella powers ahead and he wins by 80 metres. It's incredible. It was described by another runner as the greatest marathon ever. And you can see why. He's fighting 100% humidity. It was wet that day. Diarrhea, stomach cramps, 42 kilometres. Just to finish the race is impressive, let alone to come first. Marathon running is all about endurance. It's about persevering. And that's a picture that we have here in Hebrews chapter 12. The Christian life is a race of endurance. But unlike De Castella, it doesn't matter if you come first. It's not a competition. It's not about speed. What matters is making it to the end. What matters is perseverance and endurance, making sure you get to the finish line. Now, the big question is, how do you get there? How do you make it to the finish line? Now, in a lot of ways, that's actually what the whole book of Hebrews has been all about. A big part of the answer is that he keeps showing us Jesus. That's how we make it there, as we understand who Jesus is. We've been looking at the past 10 chapters about how great Jesus is. Jesus is the great high priest. He's the Son of God. And the sacrifice he gives is himself. Because of his death, he saves completely. He rescues us. And so, of course, keep going. Now, we also saw last week in chapter 11, we saw this whole list of people who had run before us, people who had run the race and they finished. They had faith. Now, they finished the race with less than we have. We know the plan better than they did, but if they could finish the race, take a look at them and run with faith as well. And now we come to chapter 12. And the writer gives some specific instructions on how to keep running. There's 3 things. There's 3 big things, as I mentioned earlier. He says to throw off, fix your eyes, what you focus on, endure. And we're going to look at each one of those things, and we're going to spend maybe a bit more time on the last one. But before we do that, let's pray and ask God that he might be with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we pray now, Lord, that as we think about the Christian life, the fact that it's an endurance race, we pray that you might Open up our hearts and minds that we hear what you have to say to us this morning. We pray, Lord, that you might help us to wrestle with areas in our lives that need to be fixed, ways that we think that need to be changed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how to keep running. How to make it to the end. First of all, and that'll be the next slide. First of all, throw off everything that gets in the way. It'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you as we work through Hebrews chapter 12. If you've got any questions, write them down. But let me read verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Sometimes in a marathon, maybe it's a city to surf. You have people who get dressed up in costumes. Looked up on the internet, there's often somebody in a gorilla suit. There was a guy who was a blow-up dinosaur. There was even a giant bottle of Gatorade. Somebody inside one of those costumes. Now, when it's a fun run, when you're mucking around, you might do that. But when it's serious, the Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, when you're in the race for eternal life, you throw all of that out. How many marathon runners have you seen carrying this giant backpack on their backs, carrying a TV under their arm as they're running? You don't do that. Anything that drags you back, get rid of it. In verse 1, get rid of the sin that so easily entangles. It's like having your shoelaces tied together and you're still trying to run. It's like sin is like a net that as you're trying to run through it, it just catches on your leg, it trips you over. And I wonder, are we doing that? Are there areas in our life where we keep sinning and we're holding on to it? We actually haven't let go of it and we deliberately let ourselves to fall into that trap. It might be greed, it might be anger, it might be pornography, lying. How foolish it is to deliberately keep on sinning. It's like running with our shoelaces tied. But did you also notice that it's everything that hinders? Not just sin, not just the bad stuff. It can be the good stuff. There can be things in your life that aren't wrong in themselves, but they're slowing us down. It makes it hard to keep going. The choices that we make, the way that we spend our time, the things that we live for, those things can also drag us down, hold us back. I know a guy who used to go to church. He used to be a leader at church. Yeah, his job was okay. But then he got a promotion and things started to go his way. He started doing more studies, more qualifications. He was given more responsibilities. He was becoming more successful. And church, it wasn't as exciting anymore. There were other things to focus on. It wasn't as important. Actually, he was too busy to serve anymore or to go to growth group or to pray. I also know another guy. He was doing really well in terms of his work. He had a business. It was a dream in a lot of ways. It's what people aspired to. But then he realized it was actually affecting his life. It was affecting his relationships. And so he gave up that business and went to a normal job. Now, it might not look as good in the eyes of the world, but all of a sudden he had a lot more time for relationships, to go to church. Now, which one of those two was being weighed down and being dragged back? They can be good things, but they take us away. Maybe it's our work, maybe it's hobbies, maybe it's studies, chasing degrees. Maybe it's our kids, our grandkids. Is there something in your life which is slowing you down? If there is, it's a gorilla suit. It's holding you back. It's a hindrance. Maybe it's a sin that you're not dealing with. Maybe it's a good thing which is getting in the way. Get rid of it, whatever it is. That's the first instruction the writer gives us. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let me bring us to the second instruction, which is our next slide. The writer tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. to see where we're going, to see where we're headed, to see the one who's actually gone before us. Keep looking at him. Pick it up again in verse 1. Let us run the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And do you see how he's described? He's the pioneer. He starts our faith. He's the foundation of faith, but he's also the perfecter. He carries it on to completion. You know, if you're running tired and you think, there's no way that I can get to the end, keep looking at Jesus. He starts it. He finishes it off. But at the same time, there's things that we need to do here. Do you see what Jesus does? For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Think about Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. A runner who's in the marathon, he keeps his eyes on the prize. He knows where he's going. He's going to the finish line. He focuses on that moment, the moment that the medal is placed around his neck when he crosses the line. How about for us? We keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep looking at him. I remember when I was young, as far as I can remember, there was one time that I went to the Easter show. I don't think I've actually gone ever since when I was a little kid. This was around, I must have been 5 or 6 or 7. I don't remember much. It was a while ago. But what I do remember was that everyone was really tall because I was a little kid. All I could see around me were a lot of legs and I couldn't see much else. There was heaps of people. It was a place where it's easy to get lost. But as a little kid, it's okay because all I needed to do was to be able to see mum and dad. Keep following them. Keep my eyes on them and I'm okay. And it's the same in our Christian lives. Keep looking at Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. And it's amazing how much of life actually then starts making sense. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew that there was something better in front of him. And so the shame of the cross, the scorn of the cross, the pain of the cross, it didn't matter. Robert De Castello, what he went through, that's nothing. What Jesus went through, that's endurance. Follow him. See his example. The crazy thing here is, I was trying to think about what is the joy that was set before him. In one sense, that's actually obedience. He's got the joy of obeying his father. But I think the other thing in terms of understanding what that joy is, I think the joy there is us in a lot of ways. Jesus was always at the Father's side to start off with. He already had that. He was always at the Father's right-hand side. But what Jesus does is that he saves us. He rescues us. He makes us his brothers and sisters. Friends, that is incredible. Keep your eyes on him and what he does for us. If you're finding it hard as a Christian, if you're finding it easy as a Christian, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's where you're running towards. That's who you're copying after. It's easy to get distracted in the Christian life. There can be bright, shiny things to look at. There's going to be things along the way that are attractive and exciting, and it's tempting just to start going off the track and start chasing after those things. Maybe things are getting ahead at work. Things are coming together and you're doing really well. The beautiful house, I've made it. I can be proud of it. I've got security. My kids, my grandkids, to see how well they're doing, how smart they are, the jobs that they have, that there's going to be shiny things that distract us. There's also going to be hard things. Times when you wonder, is this all worth it? Where is God in all of this? Now, whether it's the hard things or the shiny things, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the example. He shows the way, and he shows that it is worth it. The child who keeps his eyes on his parents, he follows them because he trusts them. He loves them. Are you doing that with Jesus? Is that the focus in your life? Or have your eyes started wandering onto something else? The bright, shiny things, the hardships. Throw off everything that hinders. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And then the last point this morning. We might think to ourselves, but it's hard. My Christian race, my Christian life, it's hard to follow Jesus. There's things that I am struggling with. And the writer of Hebrews doesn't shy away from that. Actually, he wants us to understand how hard times fit into God's plans. He says to us that hardship is actually God's loving discipline. God's loving discipline. Take a look at verse 5. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Now, when you think about discipline, I don't know what comes to mind. This is not the discipline of an angry army drill sergeant who likes to inflict pain on the soldiers to whip them into shape. It's not that. It's not the discipline of a cruel, mean father who's a tyrant. No, the God that we meet in the Bible is a God who loves us. He is the perfect Father. And if you want to see how much he loves us, do you realize what God gives us? He gives us his own Son because he loves us that much. This here is a loving Father who disciplines his children to guide them, to shape them, to grow them. Now, I have three kids. One of them sitting right here, so it might be a little bit awkward. But I want them to grow up to be mature people, people who know Jesus, who love Jesus, who are godly people. Now, if that means that sometimes I will speak strongly to them, or I get them to do things that they don't want to do, like cleaning up or sitting up for dinner, or sometimes saying no to things, even if they want it, I hope that I'm willing to do that. Now, not because I'm angry, not because I'm having a bad day and I want them to leave me alone, but because I love them and because I want what is best for them. Now, I'm not always right when I do that. I know that, but I do realize it comes out of love. That's what it looks like to be a loving parent. Now, the great thing is that God, in his wisdom, knows exactly what is for our best. God is not guessing. He's not making it up, trying as he goes. Our hardship is how God disciplines us in love. That's what our hardship means. It means that we are loved by God our Father. He's treating us as his children. And so what should our attitude be to hardship? Let me read verse 7 again. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. Endure hardship. We submit to it. We accept it. We learn from it. We acknowledge that God is using our hardship to shape us. Now, friends, that is very different, isn't it? That is very different from using hardship as an excuse to resent God or to accuse God of failing to love us. An opportunity to find revenge or to complain, an excuse to become embittered, to focus on me and what I'm going through, to get angry at God. That's a little bit like the petulant child who doesn't get their way, and so they storm off and they slam the door and they kick their toys. That's not what it means to endure. Now, you understand, right, that hardship does not necessarily mean we've done the wrong thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are being punished. Now, sometimes because you've done the wrong thing, there are consequences. And so sometimes there are hardships. If you drink and drive, you get into a car accident, those two things go together. But it could well be that our hardships have got actually nothing to do with us or things that we've done wrong. But God is using that. He's teaching us to be patient. God is teaching us to be compassionate because of what we're going through. God is helping us to pray and to rely on Him in everything. In hardship, God is training us. Take a look at verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now that's countercultural, isn't it? Well, what we see here in Hebrews, our world is in the business of happiness and comfort and having the best of everything right here, right now. God is in the business of making us more and more like Jesus and making sure that we get there to the end. Can I just say that discipline is hard? Now, I don't want to minimize that for a moment. What anyone is going through, some of the problems that people are facing, it's mind-numbing. It is overwhelming. It's painful. Suffering and pain are not good in and of themselves. There's no suffering and pain in heaven. It's part of our fallen world. But Hebrews is saying that God is in control of the world, and He can use even the bad things to build us up. And so if you're going through something hard right now, or the next time that you do go through something hard, instead of getting angry or lashing out, instead of giving up in despair, is it training you to be more like Jesus and building you up in righteousness? The last two verses, that's basically the writer saying, keep going, strengthen your arms, your knees, because it's a race of endurance. Just go to the next slide there, Albert. I have a friend, he's a good runner. He does cross country, or he did back in school. And so when he went into the city to surf, he just went for it. He started out sprinting. He didn't want people to overtake him, going for a personal best. And three quarters of the way through, he collapsed. He didn't make it to the end of the race, and the paramedics had to look after him. Now, I take it, apart from being painful, I take it that's kind of embarrassing. Standing in front of Jesus, and we've given up. We didn't run the race. That is not embarrassing. That is devastating. I was reading about an average mum who's going into a half marathon. She's almost the opposite of Robert DiCostello. She's a bit older. She's a bit overweight. She's not a trainer. She's not a professional, but she's going to a marathon. She's an ordinary person, just like the rest of us. Now, she's going to wear a headband into that half marathon, and it says, run, walk, crawl, finish. That's right, isn't it? That's right. No matter how you go, whether it's run, walk, crawl, the important thing is to finish. The Christian life is a race of endurance. It's not how you start, it's getting there to the end. And so let me ask you, how is your race going? How is your race going? Maybe you haven't started the race yet. Maybe you're new here at church. Maybe you're still trying to find out about Jesus, and that's great. Keep coming back. Keep working out who Jesus is. Hear about the fact that He dies on the cross to save us, that God, He's a Father who loves us. The way to start the race, the way that we can come into a relationship with God as His children, is by putting our trust in Jesus. That is the first step, and then the next step, and you keep walking. It is important to start. And the way that we do that is by putting our faith in Jesus. But maybe you are a Christian and you're running the race. Is there something that is getting in the way? Something which is holding you back, or it's just starting to get you off track? Those shiny, bright things. Throw it off. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Not your work. Not your kids, not the business in life. Focus on Jesus. Make sure that He is driving you, that is where you're running after, That's the things that you're craving for. But if you're running and things are hard, then the encouragement here is that God is in control and he loves you. He's treating you as a child. And so submit to a loving father who is shaping you because he loves you as a son, as a daughter. Throw off everything that gets in the way. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Endure hardship because God loves you as his own child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a God who does love us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has gone before us. He's paved the way, and it's made it possible for us to come into relationship with you. We pray, Lord, that you help us to examine ourselves, help us to be challenged where we need to be, encouraged where we need to. We pray, Lord, that you might give us the strength to throw off those things that we know are getting in the way of following Jesus. Help us to fix our eyes on him. And if our eyes have gone astray, we pray, Lord, that you help us to bring them back. We ask, Lord, especially for those who are struggling, who are going through hard times even now. We pray, Lord, that they know that your loving hand is upon them and that together we continue to seek to live for you as you guide us, as your sons and as your daughters. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.